gas at you.
Yeah, like, they're going to... Wait, are we talking about Gene or stink bugs?
No, I like that. Come on now. Come on. Oh, I ate some kind of vegan thing tonight for dinner, and I'm really farting.
Good evening, tonight. Everybody, and welcome to the Weekly Wind Down. I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I'm Stacy, the new age old school mom.
I'm Jean, the feisty feminist.
Party feminist.
I'm Erin, the geeky gal pal who cannot stop laughing.
It's the damn garbanzo beans.
That'll do it every time.
Tonight I am drinking Apothic Cab. So I've never had the Apothic Cab. This is my first time. It's super good. I actually think I like it better than the other Apothic, like just the red blend. And I'm not much for a cab person. So this is super good.
I think Apothic can't go wrong. Even their rosé is good.
For sure. But I was surprised at how good it's like not overwhelmingly strong. Like the taste isn't, there's not a lot of bite to it, which is one of the reasons I don't like cabs. It's super good.
I'm drinking water because my dumbass cannot get the champagne open. So I have to wait for my husband to get home in 10 minutes to open it because it's like really on there. But I will be drinking mom's champagne.
Ooh, fancy.
I know. He brought it home because it's payday yesterday. So he always brings home like something, roses or champagne or something on payday. So I got the fancy stuff.
Look at that. I'd be like, skip the fucking roses. Keep bringing me the wine. Like, the roses die. Right?
Roses die. Memories from wine lasts
forever. Yeah.
No, wine dies quicker than roses do.
But it's more fun.
Yeah. Absolutely. I fell for the trap of going for the name and the bottle. I bought a bottle of, it's called Writer's Block, and there's a picture of William Shakespeare on it. And I loved it. But you know what? It's a Sauvignon. It's a Cabernet Franc. And even though I like that wine, I can't like sit and just drink it. That's the kind of wine you have to eat like with a big meal. And I'm already regretting my decision because I'm not going to finish this bottle tonight. I can tell.
You don't have any hot dog casserole laying around?
No, I'm full from the vegan microwave steam bag that made me fart probably louder than Bernie Sanders.
I've really missed you guys. So I'm drinking, it's just called rosé wine.
Oh, Aaron's getting real Aldi. Fancy.
Aldi. It's a 2018 from Oregon.
Because that's when they started making it.
The exquisite collection. It's exquisite.
Right. And it was $2. Second shelf, not bottom shelf.
Yeah, it is. Stacey, you're right. It was on the second shelf. It
was. What is top shelf Aldi wine?
No, not even that.
It's like a pre-made Bellini. just add the vodka. Yeah, it's very good, actually. I'm very happy. You know me. I don't normally drink wine, so welcome.
Yeah, no potato wine for you tonight? You still recovering from your 40th? Why don't you tell everyone how that was before we lament our...
I have no idea how it was.
No one's mad at me. I made it home in one piece. I'm good.
We have to piece it together from all of her Instagram posts.
Oh my God, right? So it was actually very fun. I don't know if we went to New Orleans. It was great. It's a really wonderful city. I was very impressed. And we stayed in the French Quarter, and it was just like a bunch of our girlfriends, and we typically, when we go out together, like we're all like on different pages, like we're all never reading the same book or even in the same chapter, but we were all on the same page this time, which was really fun. And we just had a great time, and I drank so much. I really do not remember most of the trip. The evenings, especially the evenings. The evenings are real, real, real. I'm not sure. I'm really not. But it was fun, and I had a great time, and I would do it again. And I'm 40 now, so I guess the next one I have to look forward to is 50. So, I mean, thanks.
But you don't look a day over 23.
Well, thanks. 21. yeah, no. But I had a great time, and I have these amazing Baby Yoda cups from my 40th birthday celebration.
Wow.
What? And I'm drinking water out of this. What?
What?
Hey, I got that.
Jackie?
For you.
Yeah, you did. So it's all coming up Millhouse over here.
Nice.
So anyway.
Coronavirus first.
Oh God. Okay.
Yeah. I'm down. Let's fucking tackle this thing.
All right, Stacey, you go first.
I'm real curious what you guys think about, is the media doing us any favors? Are they making it worse? Or do you think they're just giving out the information that people deserve and need?
I think it depends on one. I mean, I do think that it's important information because this disease. So we had a whole briefing at my county. All the department heads got like a briefing from the county physician or what the person who's in charge of public health. And I wouldn't say the media is making it worse. I think because we live in a world with like a 24-hour news cycle and cable news, and they have to be covering something all the time, it automatically makes anything going on seem worse. But I don't think... So I think a lot of people are kind of being nonchalant about it because, let's face it, the people who most at risk are elderly individuals who already have underlying health issues. And that's not necessarily the people that we hang out with. So I don't think there's a lot of cause of alarm for like the normal people we interact with on like a day-to-day basis. But I think that if you are, you know, someone in your up in years who maybe gets pneumonia easily or has a compromised immune system or whatever, I think that, yeah, you're probably really fucking alarmed. And if you have a family member that has a compromised immune system, you're probably really scared and searching for any type of information that you can get. So I think it just depends on your situation and your lens that you're kind of viewing things through. I will say this is what was passed down to us about it. The reason that it's so dangerous is because it has a 2.3 spread rate, 2.3 person spread rate, which means that every person who has it or has contracted or is a carrier is passing it on to 2.3 people, which is very high compared to like the cold or the regular flu or whatever. Mm-hmm. The doctor did tell us the very best thing you can do is, like everyone's been saying, is wash your hands and keep a 6-foot social bubble around yourself, like... Except for people in your immediate family, you're better off staying 6 feet away from people in regular social interactions. And masks do not work. Stop buying them. You're breaking the medical field. They need them. Because the only thing the mask you're protecting is people from you. So because even people who are like, even if you're wearing a mask, you're still touching the same hand railings, doors, like everything. It's then you could cover your skin in it. It's not dangerous until that skin enters one of your orifices that translates into your bloodstream. So even if you had it all over you, as long as you didn't put your hands in your mouth or your eyes or your nose or your ears or anything like that, you're going to be okay. So the mask isn't really doing anybody any favors. And there's a shortage of it for the medical world, and they really need them for surgeries and stuff. The other problem is the other concern that the medical world has, and I don't think it's unfounded, is the more and more people that have this and have to be hospitalized from it, more of our resources are going to start going to that. And like medicine's a finite resource. We don't have unlimited amounts of it. We don't have unlimited doctors, healthcare professionals, whatever. So people, excuse me, who would normally be waiting to have standard surgeries or, you know, normal things taking place, the more that hospitals and stuff get inundated with this type of illness because they have to be quarantined and so many steps have to get put into place, those procedures and stuff are going to get put on the back burner, which could cause even more issues. So I don't know. Yeah, I mean, yeah, is there a lot of hype around it? Of course there was with, you know, SARS, there was with the swine flu, there was with the bird flu, there is with all of these. But if you're in one of those high risk populations, I think you want the information. So I don't know. You got to take it from where you are.
And plus, for at least the last 10 years, we've been hearing about this phantom superbug that's supposed to hit someday, that's going to be completely antibiotic resistant and completely resistant to any type of treatments. And so it's been that hype, I think, that's what gets people freaking out every time there's a new communicable disease that pops up. Everybody's waiting for that superbug, and you just don't know if, you know, coronavirus is it, just like we didn't know if SARS or MRSA or any of those other big outbreaks that we had. So, but I do agree. You know, every time you turn on your television, it's there. Every time you open up one of your social media accounts, it's there. So I think it's just the proliferation of it that makes it even scarier than it is.
Yeah, and I mean, one of the dangerous things, and this is what the doctor was telling us also, is that because it's a brand new virus, one of the reasons that it's so scary is because they don't know necessarily how it's going to mutate, how it's going to morph, how to control it, how to treat it. And that has the potential of being a pandemic, which is what is scary for people, is because, I mean, now they're pretty far down the road of actually finding a vaccine for it, which is treatable. But if this was a fast acting virus strain that mutated upon every contact with antibiotic, I mean, you're talking about a lot of people falling victim to it. And 85% of people that contract coronavirus can treat themselves at home, can stay home, can take care of themselves, quarantine themselves, and they're going to be fine. But 15% is still a lot. That's a lot of people. And it has the transmission rate the same as the Spanish flu did, that killed, you know, 2% of the world's population. So, and I mean, obviously medicine has improved, our bathing habits have improved, hygiene has improved. so I don't think, I'm not like sounding alarm bells saying 3% of the world's population is going to die. But I think like the case up in Washington where you saw it kind of take root in this nursing home, I think that's really scary for people that have family members in there. I mean, because the whole center's quarantined off, they're pretty much sitting waiting to get coronavirus. And you're talking about a bunch of senior citizens. So like, if your parents are in there, or your aunt or uncle, are you just sitting there waiting for them to get it? And hopefully they don't die. Like that kind of stuff, I think, is scary for people. Yeah.
So I think it's scary too. With the, I feel like part of the scary part is that, I mean, it passes so quickly too. It's so like it doesn't really, you can't really protect yourself aside from washing your hands. You know, like. Mm-hmm. There's not like you, like who among us can really just quarantine themselves until this passes in 5 years? You know what I mean? Like, it's not going to happen. It's, you're going to have to still go to work and you're going to have to do these things. And there's so many people that don't have sick days. They can't miss a day if they don't feel good.
Right.
So
14 days worth of sick days.
Right. Like, so if you were past 14 days, like, what are you going to do? Like, you're just going to not go to work and not get paid. And you know, I mean, there's a lot, I think, that really worries people because, you know, we are in a country where, you know, we don't have that option and we don't have a lot of things handed to us like free medical care, you know, things like that. So I think there are things that other countries are maybe not like, maybe they are freaking out and we just don't know because we're not in those countries. But I feel like here, like you said, Jackie, it's just this constant stream of news and it seems like it's always changing. And then we have like the leader of our world telling us like the dumbest fucking information in America.
Just go to work. You'll be fine.
You'll be fine. Just sleep it off under your desk, you know, like George Costanza style. Like, I just truly think that like there's so much misinformation, but there's so much that like people don't even think to research. So it's like, it's just going to get, I think it's going to get bigger and I think it's going to get more scary and people are going to continue to freak out, like buying all the toilet paper and beer at Costco.
It's very
like
weird what they deem as the most important things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, beer. I do not.
And if you're going to drink that much beer, you got to have toilet paper. So, I mean, I guess it's sensical.
But you're going to have that shit.
The whole idea of going to work like that, and it's a whole nother discussion topic when we talk about how unfair it is that, like, retail workers, food service workers, you know, they're given hardly any days off. And those are people that are handling things you literally put in your mouth, like, consistently. Mm-hmm. So when I read that he was telling people, like, oh, just go to work, it'll be fine. Like I said, yeah, 85% of us, if we got it, it would knock us on our ass for a few days, but we would be fine. But because it's so highly contagious, you don't know who you're coming into contact with that day that could have, you could appear fine and everything, like you're not presenting symptoms or anything like that, but you could pass it on to someone who has an, you know, compromised kid at home that has cancer, or who has an elderly parent that lives with them. Like, you just don't, just because you will be okay, it's that herd mentality, right? Like, right. Don't tell people if you're feeling sick, you're fine, keep going to work, because you have no idea how many people they're going to come in contact with and how many people they're going to come in contact with. Like, it's just, yeah. And I get it. That's a position of privilege, because if I absolutely had to, I could take 2 weeks off for work. Like, it wouldn't be easy, but I could. So I understand that I say that from a place that a lot of people cannot say that in, but right. We also, like, we released a statement today to all county businesses telling them, hey, you should be preparing for employees to have to be out if they can telecommute, if they can work from home so that they can get their hours. Like, if they're not feeling well, please let them, you know, call in on meetings and do all the, just to protect the herd kind of thing, which I think is really important, that if a business could do that and you can kind of tamper down some of the public interaction, they should be taking those precautions. Now, again, I get it. Restaurant workers cannot do that. Clerks who work at Starbucks cannot do that. You know, people who work at Costco cannot do that. Like, I get all of that. So that's another place of privilege. But I don't know. It's going to happen, and it's going to keep happening, because bugs, viruses keep transforming. They keep mutating. And this isn't, we're not getting the severe temperatures. It's not getting cold enough to kill off these diseases. Yep. It's not, you know, so yep. This is just one of many that's going to keep coming around.
It's right. Another effect of climate change that Republicans love to ignore.
Yeah. I think social media plays a big part in the fear, because, you know, somebody can post an article, not even check the source of the article.
What?
But, like, we had the first death in California recently, and the comments in the article that I read, people didn't even read the article, you know, so people were talking about where did she get it from? And, you know, all the misinformation in the comments. And I feel like a lot of people go straight to the comments to read stuff, and that's where they get their facts. And then it's a lot of misinformation. And then some articles say it can live on surfaces 4 to 5 days, and others say 7 days, and some say 9 days.
They don't know yet.
So then they're like, oh, well, things being shipped over from China could have, you know, germs on them. So then people are afraid of things that are being shipped. And the people that say, like, I saw a video the other day that said this guy found a can of Lysol in his cupboard that was from, you know, 5 years ago, and it said kills the coronavirus on the back. But it's, so people think it's like some big conspiracy, but it's a different strand. My mom explained this to me today. It's a different strand of coronavirus.
Yeah, this is number 19.
Right. And so
guys, help get the champagne.
Open the champagne. But, you know, there's so much misinformation, and people don't research stuff, and they just go crazy on social media. And I feel like that's where a lot of the fear comes from, and it gets blown out of proportion, and it's crazy.
The CDC website actually has a lot of really good, concise information on it. Mm-hmm. So instead of listening, if the news reports are too much, if they're too daunting, don't go to Facebook. Don't go to Twitter. Jesus. Go to the CDC website and hear it directly from them. Believe it or not, the CDC is a pretty reliable source. I mean, when they make mistakes, they're one of the few government agencies that comes out and says, hey, we made a mistake on this. They're trying to protect, it's in their best interest to protect the public health. So they have a lot of really good information on there, and it's better to hear it straight from them. And yes, do things change because this is a brand new virus? Yes, things are going to change. Just because something says something on there one day and it's different the next they're updating it as they go because they're still, they don't even actually know the real incubation period for it because it's a brand new virus. That's why they're doing it for 14 days because they pick a medium, right? Like some people they're testing only contagious for 3 or 4 days. Some people it's 10 days. Some people, so they're just trying to pick a round number. Also, it's hard to find like patient zero because what happened in Washington was these two people came in. One was a high school student and one was a 30-year-old. And they're like, how did you get it? Neither one had been out of the country. Neither one, no one else in their community was presenting symptoms. And it's because people are passing it on that actually weren't getting sick from the coronavirus. They're immune to it, but they don't know who those people are. Like there's all these, they're just learning about it. So we're all in this together, guys. We're all in this together, but this is exactly the epitome of the herd mentality and why vaccines are so important. Because if you think you're scared from the coronavirus, imagine how moms or dads that have little kids that are super, super sick and can't get vaccinated feel taking them with your kid who you won't get vaccinated for the damn measles. Like, don't be a dick. Vaccinate your kids. Right.
Man. Yeah, why don't we just bring polio back while we're at it?
Right? Jesus, if we're going to start killing people. Like, I think the whole thing is just, it's scary. I'm not going to lie. Like, I get scared about it. But I also think to myself, like, I work with myself. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not with a whole lot of people all the time. I definitely, those things are like good and bad. Like I'm not around a lot of people all the time, but I'm also not around a lot of people all the time. So my immune system may be, you know, compromised or whatever, but I'm also a healthy 40-year-old. Hey. So, I mean, I just think like, if I get sick, I get sick, you know, like I have time that I can take.
You're better off getting sick the first run through of it because it'll go dormant in the summertime usually because of temperatures, and then it will mutate, and then it will come back in the fall, and it will be worse. So you're actually better off getting it, and so your body builds immunity up to it, and you'll be better off the second time around.
Were you nervous, Erin, flying?
Slightly. I was a little nervous, only because it's so funny. You're in an airport. You're in with thousands of people. And it's just when you see people with their masks on, you're like, do you have something or do you not want to get something? So it's just kind of like, do you have cancer and you really don't want to get anything, not even a common cold, you know? Like, so it's just crazy when you think about it. But at the same time, I just washed my hands every single time I could. And I had like hand sanitizer and I just tried very hard to not touch my mouth. You know what I mean? Like, I was just like, I'm going to be all right. But really, it was kind of nerve-wracking. And like, Gail works in the service industry, right? Like, she had a couple there the other night and she's like, they were coughing and hacking all over. And she's like, cover your mouth, people. Like, what the heck? Like, there's just common courtesy things that people don't do even when they have like a normal cold, and now they're not going to do it if they have the coronavirus, you know? So
yeah.
And I just think it's so freaking crazy that people don't typically wash their hands.
Yeah.
I just think that's just like absolutely insane.
I know.
How do you not wash your hands?
And please cough and sneeze into your elbow. Right. You know what? I don't want your spittle on me, whether it's contaminated or not.
Right.
You can see the picture of health. I still do not want your spittle anywhere near my body.
Right. It's just sad. And I mean,
unless
I know,
you're
like,
real hot.
And then me.
Yes.
Now then, that's a little sweaty head.
I was waiting for Gene to put a caveat in there. Single Gene to be like, well, I will make a few exceptions.
Sophia Vergara drips some sweat on me.
Oh my!
I take my chances with the COFEFI 19.
I might as well. I'm not gonna lie. It wasn't that scary flying, though. I mean, it wasn't anything to be like insanely concerned about.
Yeah, I'd have to do it next month.
Yay.
Oh, and here's the other thing too. Don't be racist assholes. Not every Asian person has the coronavirus. Like, don't be a dick. God.
Yeah.
Not every Asian person has it. And, you know, not every, not every person that's coughing has either, but that's everyone's gut reaction, right? Especially right yes. now. Like, I went over and picked up my TV from Dempsey yesterday, and she started coughing, and I was like, get the fuck away from me. Like, don't even breathe on me. Yeah.
Well, I have a general aversion to people anyway, you know, people that I don't know very well. So I like the 6-foot bubble, even in times of pure health.
You work at school. That's why.
I know. It's like an incubator. And I just give me my personal...
You know those nasty little teenage boys aren't washing their hands.
Yep.
They do hit the hand sanitizer an awful lot. We got the wall dispensers, and they're always hitting
the hand
sanitizer.
That's because they're not washing their hands in the bathroom. They're like, I'll just hit the hand sanitizer.
I know, and yes, I know. And all the other boys like to say, so-and-so just took a crap, didn't wash his hands. I'm like, thank you for that. Now it's going to take me 20 minutes to settle the class down after that announcement.
E. coli.
E. coli. all right. We'll talk about it real quick. Elizabeth Warren dropped out today.
Oh, man, that hurt.
Yeah.
I can't even talk about it
without getting choked
That's
up.
That's why
I'm
said
not
just
lying.
Real quick.
I am so heartbroken. Like, I know, like, it was coming. Like, I could feel it from, it was like the coronavirus, you know, like, you could feel it coming. But I'm very heartbroken about it. Like, you know, Hillary, loved Hillary, love Hillary. Can't wait till tomorrow when her thing comes out on Hulu, her documentary. I'm very excited. But Elizabeth Warren was, like, everything good and good and wonderful about a politician that I wanted. She was right. Smart. She was well-spoken. She cared about people. Like, she literally cared. And to know that she was looked over because this country is so fucking scared of a woman in power is just horrifying. And the amount of lies that came out about she doesn't really have a plan. Like, she has a plan for fucking everything. She has a plan for everything. And she has it clearly laid out on her website if anyone would do some fucking research. And
I know. And you know what hurt the most for me is that Hillary, you know, I love Hillary. I think that as a woman, as a professional woman, has just accomplished so much amazing stuff. She was absolutely the best qualified person running in 2016 in both parties. Absolutely the best quality, most qualified. However, she had some baggage from, you know, Bill Clinton and some other baggage that should not have eliminated her. It was just baggage that, you know, people that are searching for this purest candidate, you're just never going to find.
It's just so funny also, considering Trump.
Right. Oh my God. And then the fact that Hillary was the first woman ever to win a political party's presidential nomination.
In the modern era, yeah.
So, you know, you had those two things, and even though it was a complete travesty, that whole election, a complete travesty, I fast forward 4 years, we've learned so much. We now have a candidate who embodies the same level of professionalism and compassion and capability, and she has no baggage. Like, what kind of baggage does Elizabeth Warren have other than this fucking socialist, you know, label that the conservatives love to throw out?
Which isn't even true.
Right. Which isn't even true. However, the fact that she finished so low behind two men, and even what shocked me the most, because I was watching a lot of the returns Tuesday night, when I saw that fucking Bloomberg was blowing her out of the water in some states, I mean, that, to me, the game was over then, because clearly this country is still so fucking sexist and still so hung up on a woman's place being in the home that I just, like, you know what? I want to stay drunk till the day after Election Day. That's what I've decided.
Here's my favorite meme to come out so far. Or I shouldn't say meme, tweet. says, stop telling Warren supporters to suck it up and support Sanders or Biden. Of course we will do that. We're strong, capable women, and we are fucking used to supporting whichever less qualified white man seems to hate us less. But we get to be mad as hell first.
More fucking real, right?
Exactly.
God, I feel like, too, one of the things that was, it's just so, like, I don't know, the Hillary thing really... really, it like blew me over when it happened. And I think I talked about this on here before. Like, I had just gotten passed over for a job, for a promotion by a man who was severely less qualified than me. Like, 100, I was 100% perfect for the position, and I was passed over by this guy. And I was absolutely heartbroken about it. And then Hillary happened. And it was to for her to lose and still get the you know, win the popular vote but lose the actual presidency, that was hard, right? So this time I was like, okay, here we have this candidate, like Jean said, where she really has no actual blemishes. Like, she's smart, she's well spoken, she believes in people, she has a great marriage, like, she has a wonderful dog, you know what I mean? Like, she's got all these amazing things, all of these amazing things. And it just, people still wanted to rip her up for whatever, called her, you know, too harsh, told her that she was condescending, said that she, you know, she really didn't care about people, you know, this, that, and the other. And it just made me feel so sad for her. Like, she was my friend. Like, I wanted to reach out to her and be like, look, I don't feel that way about you. Like, I love you. Like, I totally really love, like, you know what I mean? Like, I just wanted to be like, look, let's have some wine. I'll pet your dog. Like, it'll be fine. But, like, I just feel like she got the fucking rawest deal that could ever be handed to someone, because she was literally the most qualified person. And if, I don't know what it was about her campaign, but the fact that she couldn't get the conservatives to believe that she wasn't a socialist is just, it, I don't know what happened or how it couldn't or what the deal was, but it just... I just feel like she got a raw deal. I don't know.
Well, here's what happened. People thought she wasn't electable in the Midwest because of the Electoral College, which I think is bullshit. Like everyone keeps saying, she's fucking electable if you vote for her. If everyone who had actually voted for who they wanted to be president and stopped being pundits and voted for right. who they thought was going to win because they wanted to be on the winning team, we would have had a very different outcome. And I think Amy Klobuchar would have done better too. And as much as I like Pete Buttigieg, and I say this as a person who does like Pete Buttigieg, he wasn't fucking ready. And the fact that he was doing better than Elizabeth Warren is not only infuriating, but it's testament to white male privilege. And I know he's gay. I get it. I fucking get it.
But he's still white.
But he's still a white male.
But he's never served in the Senate, never served in the House. And I want Pete Buttigieg in the Senate or in the House. I think he would be an asset. I think he is a decent human being, and I think he stands up for what is right. But he should not have been outperforming her. And Amy Klobuchar, he shouldn't have been outperforming Amy Klobuchar either. Yeah. Because Amy Klobuchar is another smart, articulate, dedicated female who should have been doing better. Like, they just should have done better. And I think it all comes down to the patriarchal society. And what I mean by that is, even Democrats fall victim to it because they looked at Elizabeth Warren and they saw staring back at them Hillary Clinton and a repeat of 2016. And I think the fear that gripped them of not being able to get Trump out of office outweighed their values. And they picked someone that they thought would do well, because Joe Biden will have really good turnout with African-American voters. And I do think the fact that they are supporting him, because my girl's out of the race now, will push me to support Biden, because I think we've made decisions for the Black community long enough. And if this is who they're rallying behind, then I don't have a problem getting behind Biden, even though I don't really like him at all. But that's
who they chose. Can I ask you a question really quick?
Yeah.
Can I ask a question? Why?
They hold him up in pretty high regard because he has done a lot of work down there. He has promised to, especially in South Carolina, where he's promised to change some gun regulations, and they don't forget those little girls that were shot up in the church. And he was Obama's pick for vice president. That means a lot to them. And I think he Joe Biden has a personality where he's a politician's politician. Like, he's a guy's guy. He will talk to you and they feel heard. They feel listened to. They feel appreciated. And so often I think Black America has had to go along with whoever the establishment has picked. If this mm-hmm. is who they're rallying behind and my girl's out, then I think that that's what I'm going to do. I think I'm going to get on their bandwagon. For once, I think it's time for us to support Black women and choose who they're choosing, because maybe they know something we don't. So,
do you remember, though, when Kamala, when she was like, she talked about Biden, I can't remember her exact wording.
Or even,
like that was like a big, huge deal. But sure. I mean, because he's come so far since then, is that what?
Joe Biden has been in office longer than you or I have been alive. So he's bound to have blemishes on his record.
He has a lot of blemishes.
Yeah, he voted for the Iraq War, Anita Hill, busing. Like he has a lot of issues, but he's also, but he's done a lot of work for the Black community. I think he has ponied up and followed through more than most white people do when they go down to the South and make promises to the Black community. I think he's followed through more. Now, I'm not saying he's a white savior. I'm not. Yeah, I'm not
even close.
No, but this is, and the Black women have been the backbone of the Democratic Party for a long time. They're the most reliable voters, and that's who they're throwing their weight behind. So, I think this time I'm going to toss my vote to them. So, but my point was, I think a lot of where people were skipping around was the college educated white voter. And they were going back and forth between Warren and Biden and Bloomberg for whatever fucking reason and Sanders and bouncing around. But I think it really comes down to, they were looking at this group of people and who is electable in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Biden pulls really well there. So I think everyone thinks they're being pragmatic when really they're not picking the best person for the job.
Right. And I you know what I've noticed? I too am going to vote for Biden. Not only because I feel he's more electable. Electability really, I mean, I was a Warren girl 100%, and I was going to vote for her in the primary no matter how many times people told me she was unelectable. She was going to be my vote. But now that the sexist patriarchy has toppled yet another good one, I'm going to get behind Biden because I do feel like I feel like, even though he's a fossil and he's been in Congress forever, and he has a lot of questionable things that he did 30 fucking years ago, I can get past that. And the reason why I bring this up is because over the last couple of days, I've seen LGBTQ Bernie supporters coming at
Bernie
Biden.
Bros are crazy.
Oh my God.
Well, yeah. Awful. I mean, and this is, you know, the men and women, the gays and lesbians who are Bernie supporters, because they feel, because Bernie 25 years ago didn't vote for DOMA, he's the gay savior. But 25 years ago, Biden did vote in favor of DOMA. And, you know, he's expressed
the Defense of Marriage Act, for people that don't know.
Right. That was one of Bush's famous anti-whatever policies. He was anti-everything except for
war.
You know, white people and war, because he would profit from that. So you know, I foolishly responded to a couple of strangers and said, well, I said, you know, 25 years ago for gay people was like light years away. You know, it was 25 years ago. We didn't think or believe we'd be where we are right now. And what I will credit Biden for, and I will never forget Biden for this because I'm so grateful, during, I think it was the end of, maybe the end of their first term, he was being interviewed by like 60 Minutes or something. And the reporters said, do you support gay marriage? And he said, yes, I do. And he was the first sitting part of a presidential administration that ever publicly voiced their support for gay marriage. And as soon as, and you know, it might have even been just an off the cuff thing that he didn't think about. You know, in his heart, he probably supported gay marriage, but maybe as a political figure, that wasn't a wise thing to say. But not long after that, Barack Obama was forced to make a public statement because the reporters said, Joe Biden supports gay marriage. Where are you on this? And he says, I support it too. And so because of Joe Biden, the Obama administration became our allies.
Yeah.
And lots of good stuff happened for the gay community during the Obama-Biden administration. So I'm not going to hang on the guy because 25 years ago, he did what all of his constituents wanted him to do.
Well, I have a couple points about the Bernie bros too. And I don't mean your average everyday Bernie supporters, the people who just believe in democratic socialism, because if push came to shove, if you were to put a list of things that Bernie supports, I would probably agree with 95% of them.
Right.
I think healthcare is a human right. Like I absolutely believe that. Like I think everyone's entitled to it. But the point they're missing is what separates like him from Elizabeth Warren was Bernie had no actual way to pay for it and no plan to actually put it into place. And he was unwilling to compromise on it. And I get that the idea is to go to single payer healthcare and I support that, but that doesn't happen overnight. The wheels of our government turn very, very slowly. And just because Bernie gets put in office, if he doesn't have the House and Senate to back him up, you will never see single-payer healthcare while he's in there. It's just not going to happen, no matter how much he pushes for it, no matter how much he wants it. You have to have the House and the Senate. And I don't think, because he's so unwavering, like Joe Biden, the public option, is it single-payer? No, but is it a place to start? Yes, it's a place to start, and that's how things, unfortunately, in bureaucracy, believe me, I work at it every fucking day, have to work. You have to start with these baby steps and realize, see, that doesn't hurt so bad. Let's go ahead and go in the water a little bit further. See, you're fine. You're not drowning. One more step. Okay, blow bubbles. Like, that's how you have to lead half of this country around. See, isn't that fun? Swimming's good for you. And then they're like, oh, I love the water. And you're like, I've been telling you for fucking years, get in the water. But you were terrified because these dum-dums told you there's a bunch of sharks in it. But anyway, like Bernie's all or nothing kind of approach to it is not going to happen. And when the Bernie bros kind of come at you like, oh, you're going to support Biden because you think poor people should die? No.
Right.
Like,
I might as well just support Trump then.
Right. That's not right. Because one,
we already have a president that doesn't care.
Talking about electability, I don't think Bernie will win the Midwest. I think Bernie doesn't have a real good record with African American voters that make up a large portion of the Democratic Party. He is building a coalition with Latino voters, which is great. But he's not going to win the Midwest, and you do not win the presidential election without white working class voters. And Biden had the highest polling percentages for Republicans in open primaries that voted for him. So that to me, I mean, I've said it on here 1,000 times, the only way we beat Trump is independent voters and Republicans that are going to switch parties, and Biden appeals to them. He's a sense of normalcy. He's a sense of a throwback. And is that the way we want it? No. Would we prefer things to go further to the left? Yes. But the goal right now is to get Trump out of office. Like that's my goal. I can't speak for everyone else, but so I'm going to take the path that will be the most effective for that. And that in this particular situation, it is Joe Biden, which I never thought I would be.
I know. The other day when I was like, I don't even know what Joe Biden stands for. Like, what the fuck? Like, I've been so obsessed with Warren that like, I knew I didn't agree with everything Joe Biden said or did. So I was like, ah, fuck it. I'm just
going to go with Biden. Now, if Biden was smart, he would tap Warren or Harris for VP.
Right. Yes. I agree.
Yes.
Because you know he needs the progressive wing of the party.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, I got into a discussion with one of my Facebook friends on about Warren, and he's a Sanders supporter, and he was all up in arms about how I would probably vote for Biden over Sanders because I just feel like Biden is safer at this point in history.
Yes.
And he, you know, of course, came back at me like, I can't believe you do that. Don't you want this? Don't you want that? And I'm like, listen, I truly do not think that Sanders will win. Like, I truly think, like, my stepdad, who is a Republican, would much rather vote for Biden than Sanders. So if Biden can run a tight race against
Trump,
who
knows if he can?
Yeah, like, I mean, at this point, like, I truly think that these the guy, like, the old Republican men might see Biden as like a man's man and be like, you know what, I'm
You're
sick
exactly
of this
right.
douchebag Trump. I'm gonna go with Biden because
it's
he's
safe.
Yeah, he's a safe guy. He's, you know, he's a good looking guy.
Well,
you
and
know?
They can, like, say to their friends, "No, I didn't vote for a socialist, but I wanted Trump out of office. Like, I couldn't vote for a self described socialist. I went with a safe choice." Like, I think you're 100% right. Biden is a safe vote for older white men, who unfortunately is who you have to win over to win the presidential election. Like, it just is.
Right. Yeah, it is. It's sad. Well,
it's
maybe
sad.
The coronavirus will take care of that. Hey!
Well, and Bernie's supporters, and I'm not blaming Bernie Sanders for this, but it is, your supporters are an extension of what you tolerate and what you allow. They're relentless and ruthless, and they're pretty cruel. And I feel like they mimic, I don't think Bernie Sanders is Trump on the left. I don't actually think that. But I think his hardcore supporters rival those of Trump's hardcore supporters, who just make nasty comments and say horrible things to try and make you feel guilty and stupid and gross.
Right. Because Bernie is always angry and always yelling, and his veins are always bulging out of his forehead, and he's just gross, and he just stirs up everybody's, like, he just stirs up the like, there are toxic men on the left just like there are toxic men on the right, and he's stirring up the toxic men on the left who how dare you trot this Elizabeth Warren out in front of all of us and take away attention and votes from Bernie Sanders. How dare you? And because Bernie's always slamming fists and yelling and screaming. But what the fuck is he going to do once he's in office? He doesn't have a plan.
No plan.
It's just yelling, yelling, yelling about all this shit that should be done.
My favorite part is how they're saying, like, they wanted Elizabeth Warren to secede from the race because they were saying she was blocking votes from Bernie. And I'm like, I think you're going to be real surprised to find out how many Warren supporters are not going to go to Bernie, even if they agree with his on-paper policies.
Right.
Because we've been treated by like shit by his supporters.
The vast majority of, it's not even about that. The vast majority of Warren supporters are intellectual, smart women. And if their person is out, they're going to be pragmatic and go with the route that they think is going to get Trump out of office. Because they realize at this point, it's not about a revolution. Like, Warren threaded the line really well. She threaded the needle really well of having enough progressive policies, but enough realistic ways to get there that you're like, yeah, that could work. I could see how that could actually happen. And you have a plan for it. And you have this all laid out. All of this yelling and screaming and just proclamations doesn't get things done in Washington. You have to convince people to work for you. And Bernie just can't. Not in my opinion.
It reminds me of that thing from The Simpsons, the grandpa, old man yells at cloud. Every time I see someone post that GIF, I cannot stop laughing about it. It is
That's
so
the Bernie
funny.
Sanders.
I want to
be
clear. I don't think Bernie's a bad human being. I think he's a good guy, and I think he cares about the working class. I do. I think his campaign has gotten a little out of control, but I think Bernie at his core cares about people. I really do.
Yeah,
that's why he's so mad.
Yeah,
so I don't think he's a bad human being.
No. His voting record reflects his compassion for human beings.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, there are lots of compassionate people in the world who would not make good leaders. And like you said, if he's gonna argue with everybody about everything, Especially if the Dems don't win the Senate back, he's going to be dead in the water.
Yeah.
Well, it's just going to be more yelling.
What turned me off from Bernie was he was giving this interview and they were talking about single payer health care. And even AOC doesn't back this up, who's one of his most vocal supporters. And they were talking about, well, if you don't win the Senate back, like, what concessions will you make for your single payer healthcare system? And he said, giving it 4 years transition is a concession. That's all I'll make. And I was like, you're not going to get anything done. And that was the moment I knew, even if Warren was out, I couldn't vote for, I wouldn't be able to support Bernie Sanders because he's going to get so dead set on these weird issues that he won't budge any on. He's not going to be effective. And when he says that in front of people, if he says that to the voting public, like, it is single payer healthcare or nothing. Yeah. It's going to be nothing. They're not going to vote for you because half the country doesn't know what's good for them yet. Like, you have to lead them into the water. And I know that's not fair. And I know it's stupid and it's ridiculous, but you have to, if you want their support, you have to prove to them that it's not going to hurt them. And because they listen to Fox News and because they read all this fucking propaganda, they can't be, you can't hold their head underwater. Like, you have to ease them into it. And that's when I knew, even if Bernie won the nomination, we will lose this election.
Right. And I think too, like, what's so crazy is that, like, even if Bernie won and he had the House and the Senate, let's just say that happened, I truly don't think that he'd get as much passed as he wants.
No, because you're going to have even people in red states that are senators that are not going to pass it.
Right. They're just going to be like, you know what? And like, I think even just like normal Democrats don't always absolutely agree with everything Bernie says because he is so far left. Like, he's like, he's over there and we're here. You know what I mean? Like, he is so far. And like, not that there's anything wrong with that. You know, like, I feel like it's like Seinfeld where it's like, not that there's anything wrong with that.
He's pushed the party to the left, which is good.
Right. Yes, and I'm glad about that. And there are certain things that he says that I'm like, yes. But, like, again, a Warren had a plan. He has no plan. So it's like, Jackie, your analogy of easing people into the water is so fucking spot on because even if you were to push someone in the water and they didn't die, if they didn't die, you pushed them in, they fell, they didn't die, they'd be pissed the fuck off. Yes, they'd be like, fuck this water. I don't want to ever be in the water again. Yeah. It would be horrifying, you know. I could just imagine just being like, I didn't die, but I hated it. It felt refreshing, but I hated it. You know, like, I could just see it. I can see it.
What do you think, Stace?
I got nothing. I'm very disappointed. I took a picture with my I voted sticker flipping off the camera and I was gonna post it and say, like, I just canceled out your vote. You know, like, funny. And I go to, like, fill out my thing, and because I registered no party, I don't get to vote. Mm-hmm. Like, I got, like, the local election.
You can't vote the primary.
And that was it. Yeah, I had, like, four things on there. Super bummed, but I did mail in my thing today to change it.
You're the one vote we lost in California for Warren. No, I'm just kidding.
Dang it.
Hey, you haven't seen the last of Warren, though. That woman is dedicated. Oh. She's motivated. She's not going anywhere.
I agree.
I wouldn't be surprised if she runs for president again. Like, I would love to see her in a cabinet position, but I think she would be just as effective in the Senate. Whatever. Listen, I trust Warren's judgment. So whatever she chooses to do, I support 100% because she's going to pick where she will be most effective is what she will choose to do. I really believe that. I don't think she's a person to take a cabinet position for the prestige or the honor or anything. I think she will do what she thinks she can make the biggest change in. And I can't say that for a lot of politicians.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
I would love to see Senate Majority Leader Warren.
Who posted that? I got chills when I read it.
When I
Pelosi
saw that,
and Warren.
Like, are you kidding me? It's like my emotions were all over today, like a fucking roller coaster.
Right.
And it was like, you know, when I saw that news, you know, that headline that she's dropping out, man, I was like, oh, this is just the fucking punch in the twat that I was waiting for this whole political process.
And you know what? All you assholes saying, oh, she dropped out, she needs to endorse, she needs to endorse. She doesn't need to do a fucking thing. How about that? Yeah. She's a backup offer. She's damned if she does, she's damned if she doesn't. Because if she were to support Biden, they'd call her a traitor. If she were to support Bernie, they would tell her that you're backing the person who's not going to win. If she were to say she's not going to endorse, they'd call her spineless. So she is fucked no matter what. So just give her some time, trust what she's going to do, and Elizabeth Warren is on your side. Whether you believe that or not, even the people who don't like her, she is fighting for you every fucking day. So just leave that poor woman alone.
I would literally follow her anywhere. I'd follow her into war. I'd be like, you really think I should wear a poncho? She'd be like, yes, wear that poncho. I'd be like, I'm fucking wearing this poncho. I mean, that's really fucking like very exaggerate, but like I'm being for real. Like the amount of videos I watched of her at rallies, talking to kids, talking to normal everyday people, talking to men, black women, white women, moms, kids. I just, the amount of people, I've watched so many fucking videos of her. And it's like every time she spoke, it was so inspirational. I was always like near tears. I'd be laying in bed like at night, near tears, like crying over Elizabeth Warren. Now today I'm crying over Elizabeth Warren. But Jackie, you're so right. She's not going anywhere. She is going to be here fighting the good
fight.
Elizabeth
Warren is not leaving us.
Yeah, she's not quitting. And I'm happy about it, but I was just so excited to like see her be everything we want in a president.
We don't deserve Elizabeth Warren. That's the bottom line.
I mean, the American people do not.
We deserve her, man. After the shit we have gone through with fucking Trump for the last.
We deserve her. The country doesn't deserve her.
The country doesn't fucking deserve a woman like her.
Hey, girl.
They're not ready for an actual.
I know. You know what?
They're not ready for it.
But you know what? Those motherfuckers deserve to be kicked in the ass right into the swimming pool at the deep end.
Right.
Fucking, you're grown up. Learn how to swim on your own, you fuck.
And they'd be the ones where you'd be like, if you just put your feet down, you'd be fine. But of course, you act like you're fucking drowning.
And if you'd stop fucking flailing and carrying on like a self-entitled asshole, the fucking dog can figure out how to stay above water.
To carry on,
you can too.
To carry on my water analogy, Elizabeth Warren is like when the lifeguard jumps in to save the drowning person. Yes. Which is America, and the drowning person is so panicked that they punch the lifeguard in the face, which happens because their adrenaline's just pumping. And the lifeguard's like, calm down, I got you. I'm going to take you to the side. They're like, no. That is where we are right now. And then they're going to wait until they calm down, and some other asshole lifeguard's going to jump in and be like, I made the save. And you're going to be like, no, they punched me in the face. Like,
Lifeguard Warren was about to save me,
but no,
and
I punched her.
I punched her in the face, and so the 78-year-old white male lifeguard jumped
now
in.
Drowning.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the moms are going to be like, "Why didn't you save him?" And Lifeguard Warren's going to be like, "I tried. He punched me. Like you should have tried harder and stayed there and saved him anyway."
Right,
that's how the whole thing is.
You're a fucking idiot lifeguard because you didn't save everybody. Fuck. You know, this is, I said this to someone earlier today because it was like, we keep voting these stupid, I mean, like Barack is a separate, like he's Barack. We all love Barack Obama. But as far as like these old white men, it's like the definition of insanity, right? Like we keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And we always get the same fucking result. We're always
mediocre white man.
Right. Like it's like, I'm so sick of old balls white men. I could just like vomit. I don't like balls, period. But like also, I don't want old wrinkly chicken skin balls. And that's what I get. That's all that's on the menu now.
That's what you get.
Chicken. That's what order you chicken. Get.
Orange. You're getting chicken. Old chicken balls 2020.
You gotta order
hashtag
chicken.
Hashtag old chicken balls 2020.
You don't want hot dog casserole, so just eat the chicken.
No, HDC or OCB. Like, what the fuck?
We already have the fucking old wrinkly plucked chicken balls in the White House right now. And now we're just gonna change one set of old, stinky, musty, mothball smelling chicken balls for a new one.
Hopefully we change it.
An even older set, because fucking Biden's even older than Trump.
Yeah, well.
Well, you know what? You know what my secret fantasy is? And I'm going to say this.
I want to know.
Yeah, like, I think everyone wants to know.
You know what? I'm going to say this because it's just between us and our 5,000
listeners. No one in Wyoming. No one in Wyoming.
You're fine in Wyoming and North Dakota.
We have the potential of two white men who are pushing 80 taking over the office. My fantasy is they either one picks a female vice president, and when the inevitable cardiac arrest happens, we will motherfucker, that's the only way we're getting a woman president in my lifetime. I don't know about the rest of you, but
I mean, you're not old. What are you talking about, your lifetime? We got plenty of time. We'll get you a lady president.
We'll get you a lady president.
I need a lady president.
I'm going to get you a lady
president. And look, if it has to happen through natural selection, then I'm all right with that too. You know, Bernie is one angry deli, my soup is cold rant away from another heart attack. And this one might be the one. I'm coming to join you, Elizabeth. This is the big one.
You know what? I feel like you're so right when you said that he's like the old man at the deli that doesn't like his soup is cold and he doesn't have a spoon.
Yeah, and they won't give him a new bowl of soup because he does this all the time.
Right.
He says, I don't want the clam chowder. Give me the bisque instead.
You ordered the corn chowder. You gave me the clam chowder.
But Mr. Sanders, you ate half of it. I didn't eat half of it. You didn't fill it up. That's what happened. Now I don't like the corn chowder. It's cold. Give me the goddamn bisque.
Yada yada yada. I tried the bisque.
What's everyone obsessed with this week?
Oh my God, we're already done.
I know that was really fast, but I have two things that I'm obsessed with. Number one is I've been obsessed for the last couple weeks about my high schooler's mental health, and I have a little. I'm not going to go into her personal business, but
tell us everything.
I think it sucks that we put all this like pressure on high school kids. 16 to 18 year olds to like know what they're going to do with the rest of their lives by the time they graduate high school. Ah. So much so that these kids are so stressed out that there's like a huge group of kids. Like I know the moms are, you know, she knows the girls that have gone to homeschooling. And I hate to use homeschooling because it's not like what you picture where like a stay-at-home mom is sitting in the living room holding a class. It's online. So the high school kids can do online classes and that's homeschooling. But they're so stressed out that they have to turn to that, you know? And I'm just like, why is there so much pressure to know what you want to do with the rest of your life by the time you graduate? That sucks. We're putting that much pressure on these teenagers.
I still don't know what I want to do.
Right.
Right.
Who does? Right. You know, I mean, you're lucky if you know what you want to do by the time you're 20.
Well, right. Let's be real too. Like when I was in college admissions, the amount of people that came in and they said they wanted nursing. You know, they were like, I really want to be a nurse. And then you explain to them what the fuck nursing is. Like, you need to be good with people. You need to have a bedside manner. You need to be good at math, motherfucker. You need to like science. Like,
you need to change bedpans.
Right? Yeah. Like, you have all of these things that you have to do as a nurse. It's not just saving lives, you know? Like, and then they're like, oh, I gotta like people? Yes, you gotta like people. You can't not like a people and go be a nurse. It's just not possible. You're not gonna be good at your job. Like, it's so important, I think, like other countries when they have that gap year. Like, go figure yourself out. I feel like we as a country, I mean, come on, Bernie, let's do this next. But like, I feel like you're right, Cece. Like, it's so much pressure on these young kids that literally they are barely figuring out high school. They're barely figuring out how to survive.
They barely know if they like boys or girls yet.
Right, right. And it's like you're making them figure out what they want to do for the rest of their life.
And go into debt figuring it out.
Right, right. Yeah. And that's why, like, I 100% think, like, Gap year is awesome. I think community college is amazing. Yep. Like all of these different things that kids can go and do and not go into debt. A, B, they get to figure themselves out, because I'm telling you right now, it is being in admissions taught me a lot about the high school mind and how much it stresses them out when we try to put all this pressure on them about figuring out what they want to do for the rest of their goddamn life.
The other disservice we do for kids, and I wish someone had this conversation with me. I was fortunate. I figured it out pretty early. We don't give people the room to, after they've done something for 10 years, say, I want to do something different. And switch careers and do something different. We tell them, oh, well, now you'll need an entirely new degree, and now you need to go back to school, and now you need to, you know, give up your family time because you have to do A, B, and C. We don't do enough technical training in this country. We say you need an entirely different degree for that, and that's not fair, because you're not even taking into account all of the skills they garnished by doing something different for 10 years and waiving some of those requirements. Like, we have this conception that you have to have everything figured out, like some magic day happens when you turn 18 and you're supposed to have the whole fucking world figured out. That's not reality. Right. Like, no. My sister, I tell her sometimes that, like, my sister's a special person, but she like, I admire the fact that my sister has been a helicopter pilot. She has been a train conductor. She has been a sheriff's deputy. She's done all of these different things, because when Julie's like, I'm over it, she goes and does something different. And I envy that about her, but I worry about, like, what about your retirement? What about all these things? Because we don't have a society that's set up to allow for that kind of latitude. And it's unfortunate, because my sister has probably done more interesting things and experienced more types of people and more walks of life. And but she has actually, and she's good at all the things she does. It's not like she gets fired or isn't allowed to work there anymore. She just, something else catches her interest and she goes and does something else. And I don't know why it can't be like that for more people. Mm-hmm. Like, it's unfortunate that we're not allowed to carry on. We get stuck in these careers because we're reliant on the medical coverage or the retirement plan or the pensions or whatever. And so many people we spend a shitload of our waking hours at work, and so many people spend them at jobs that they hate and a life that they can't stand, because they can't give up all of the things that job provides for them externally, because they are responsible for other people. And that's not the downfall. It's unfortunate that we're not more mobile with those benefits and those attributes and those amenities to be able to move on, because I think more people would, because you could be really good at something for 10 years and then be like, you know what? I think I'm going to try this. And you could be outstanding at that. Like, it's just, I hate that we put that much pressure on you, because in your daughter, Lex is one of the smartest people that I've ever known. Like, she's literally 40 going on 17, but they not only have to figure it out at 18, they have to figure it out at 16, because they have to apply for colleges. Mm-hmm. And that's mind boggling. What did you know at 16 compared to now?
It's also not enough to just take the classes that you need to graduate high school. They have these other requirements for state schools and then like the CSUs, to where you're taking math, history, English, science all 4 years just to get to the top of the stack of applicants for a college.
Right.
It's wrong.
So it's not even like they can relax senior year either.
No. You know what's so funny too is that, like, the amount of students that I would speak to, like, so I worked at like a normal top tier university as an admissions counselor, and then I moved to a community college. And the difference in students was really not crazy. It wasn't like something you could be like, "Oh, that's a community college student." It was weird how many students that I saw almost in like succession, like my 1 year at the top tier university, like the next year when I was at the community college, I was seeing that student as a senior, and they were wanting to go community college, and they weren't wanting to do something like welding or CAD or, you know, something where they were a machine tool, where they were actually going to be using like their brain in a different capacity, and they were going to be making shit tons of fucking money.
Yeah, there's like, nothing wrong with being a welder.
Right, nothing. Exactly. Like, yeah. You make so much money. And, like, if you get into, like, underwater welding, like, you can make, tons of fucking money. You can be making, you know, like, $300,000 a year. This is how much money you can be making as an underwater welder. So, like, the amount of things that these people were doing because they were artistically inclined, and none of the, like, if you go get your art degree, okay, so you're going to go paint, you're going to go do this. But like, if you get your art, if you go get your welding degree, then you can also do like, use your welding for your art.
Or
you know,
you
that
have enough money that you can do art in your free time, because you're not paying back student loans till you're 60.
Like, absolutely. There's so many things. And I think that's one thing that like really that a lot of like high school guidance counselors do not tell students, is that there are so many more options than just college. Like, you got to go to a state school and get a 4-year degree. No, there are a million different fucking options. And if you give these kids what they're so desperately seeking, they're going to be happier as an adult. And that is what it's all, I mean, I guarantee you, if I had gone into like accounting, like I was originally planning, I would be the most miserable motherfucker on the planet.
I picture you as an accountant. Like, yeah, that, I know. Yeah, that doesn't.
My mom
register.
Was like, "Go and do an accounting. You're gonna love it. It's you're gonna make so much money." And I'm like, I started my first accounting class, and I was like, I'm gonna shoot myself in the head. Like, I fucking hate this. And like, I changed to communications because what? I love to fucking talk. So like, there's so many things that happen, you know, like in a student's lifetime, and if you let them decide instead of pigeonholing them into one specific thing, then they will be happier and they won't switch their major 4 times. That's the average that a student switches their major is 4 times. 4. Like, do you know how much fucking money that is? Because they don't make it where all these classes work in your fucking plan of study. Mm-hmm. They do not do that.
Well, and it's okay for your kids to change their mind. Like, I don't know. I think there's a lot of pressure from schools. There's a lot of pressure from parents. And I know there's not a lot of pressure from you, Stace. I watch you interact with Lex. But a lot of parents put a shit ton of pressure on their kids to, this is what you said you're going to do. You're going to be a lawyer. You're going to be this. And that's just not for fucking everyone, man. And there's a lot of money to be made. You can support a family as a mechanic. You can support a family as an electrician. Like, there's right. nothing wrong with the skilled labor careers. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that, because college is not for fucking everybody. And you know what? A person who has a welding certificate is going to do a hell of a lot better than someone with their photography degree.
Right. I'll tell you right now, there are welders that make a shit ton more money than I make.
Do a lot better. I'm saying the demand for your work is going to be higher as a welder than someone with a photography. If you like to do photography, right. that's fucking awesome.
It's a hobby.
But we need people that build houses and weld metal and fix air conditionings and furnaces. We need all those people.
Always recession proof.
Always, yes.
Oh my God, HVAC, like, let's Florida for air conditioning? Are you kidding me? Like, yeah. Our air conditioners run 90% of the year. Like,
well, and people's cars break down, and
right, like it's
people
so
need lights installed. Like, yeah,
diesel mechanics. Like, all of these things. Like, there's so many different avenues for students to choose, and that's the whole thing. Like, Stacey, where you're saying like they have all these different classes that they have to take to get into all these different schools. You know, like my really good friend Sherry, her daughter has like almost a 5.0. What the fuck is a 5.0? You know what I
right.
mean? Like, are you fucking?
They have advanced classes
right?
now.
So now
that
you have all these
taking,
AP yep. classes and all this. Yep. And it's like, okay, so what if this student is really smart, but they're not going to go be, you know, a physics, you know, they're not going to go be a rocket scientist. They're not going to be, you know, that person. They're going to be an artist. They're going to be this, they're going to be that. Like, let's encourage people to follow their dreams instead of follow the money trail.
Well,
you know,
put shop back into class, put woodworking back in, because the amount of adults that don't know how to change your oil or do things like that, like, those are basic life skills that, and I'm not hating on anyone, but those should, we do your taxes, know what a credit card interest rate is actually going to cost you in the
yes.
long term. Like, all of
oh
these
my God.
Things are super important. And even auto mechanics class, if you taught kids just how to change your oil and like change your brakes and rotate their tires, The amount of money they could save and the avenues you could open up for them are astronomical, because we are now hitting a generation where people do not know how to do any of those things because they've always been done for. And you know what? If you want to pay to get those things done, that should be your choice. It shouldn't be a necessity. Like, we should be teaching those very basic skills in school. And that is not the teacher's fault. That is all of the state's fault for cutting funding for all of those classes. Because AP psychology as a junior in high school is more important than changing your oil. I don't think so. Or learning how to do taxes, or learning how credit cards work. Like,
or the fucking balancing your checkbook. Do you remember that? I remember that class. I had to balance my fucking checkbook. I was like, this is a 1 cent off and I'm not stopping until it's a zero. Like, what the fuck? Like, I
this
think
is why Aaron is an accountant.
Right?
1 cent off.
Just put that sentence to something else. No. Like, I
literally. Or civics class. How about how the Constitution works? Like,
right?
More than a semester, because I know in California they take it for a semester, but it should probably be more than that.
Right. I
stop
you know
the AP bullshit.
Stacey, yep. I think too what Lex obviously has going for her, that she has a lot of smart people in her life that she can go to for, you know, assistance. Like, I have a question about this, I have a question about that. You know, like, there's so many times when I think students forget that they have people in their life that they can ask questions to that aren't going to be condescending to them. Yeah. You know, like, I think, you know, I remember talking to, I can't even describe to you the amount of students that would come in with their parent, and the parent would be such a fucking Apache helicopter parent, you know, like, my student wants to do this, my student wants to do that. And it's like, okay, student, what do you want to do? What do you see yourself doing in 10 years and 15 years? And I think that's super important for you as a parent to understand. And I think it's good that you're seeing it now instead of being like, oh, everything's fine. You know, like, I think it's good that you're ahead of the curve on that one.
Yeah. I feel like we've been the last almost 2 years, we've been like, oh, everything's great, she's got good grades, whatever. And we didn't even know this stress was piling on her until recently. And then it's like, oh my God, like, I had no idea. My second really quick obsession.
We totally hijacked
is,
that thing from her.
That's okay. I almost like suggested it as one of our topics because I thought it would get some attention. But my other thing is that we get to go see Stacey's play tomorrow night that she choreographed. And I'm super excited to see where all her time and talent went into and to support her. So that's super cool.
Is there going to be like a live feed or anything? Do we know?
Because you have to buy tickets to go.
I'll sneak my phone up and try to record.
I would love.
It's been going for three. Tomorrow's the last. Well, Saturday's the last night it's being done. For those that don't know, Stacey has been with us because she's been working on the Little Mermaid production at one of our local high schools, and Stacey's a super talented dancer and choreographer, and we're real excited to go see it. Hopefully Lincoln behaves for it. We'll see.
We'll take
turns taking him out and entertaining him. But
Who's next?
What about you, Gene?
I am totally obsessed with Jill Biden this week. She pulled her fucking. She needs a movie deal, man. She needs to be an action hero movie.
The Vin way Diesel, that watch out.
Oh, my God. She's all blonde and petite and mild-mannered, and then she sees someone coming for her, man, and she trucked that mofo. They're good. It was, like, so unexpected. And like, the picture they caught of her face, she was ready to tear that protester's fucking head off.
She was. Yeah. It was awesome.
It really was. Yeah.
It was complete awesomeness.
But you see how we can all get behind her? Everybody behind her.
What, Jill?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
yeah, Jill Biden them. For president.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, right? I'll vote for Jill.
Yeah.
Right in.
What about you, Aaron?
Well, I am obsessed with, I got a couple things. I am obsessed with my girlfriend as she's pointing to herself.
I'm obsessed with you too.
I am obsessed with, so I've been at work. We've kind of had like a restructure go on, and I've been kind of at the helm of it. So I've been very obsessed with that. Like, I have been putting in like 12-hour days, and it's been fun. It's been a lot of fun. It's no accounting, thank God. But it's been a lot of fun. It's been very much something that I moved to Florida to do this position that I'm in. I moved here to do this. So it's been exciting to kind of actually get the chance to do it now, and it's working, which is very fun. So that's exciting. But the other thing that I've been obsessed with is obviously turning 40. And that has been on my mind for a very long time, 40 years to be exact. And it just like our trip. And now I'm like in the detox. Well, I was in the detox stage until tonight. So it's been, I really have not had anything else. I have to do page proofs and, oh, fucking Charles. I've been obsessed with that motherfucker.
There's a new Charles on the scene, and her name is Good Charles.
I like Good Charles, and I like, who else is, who's the other Charles?
Nope,
the anti-Charles.
Anti-Charles, and then Nope Charles.
Yeah.
Fuck Charles.
You need several to balance out the one star, because if you only get 1 5-star, it only balances it to 3.
Right, so you need like 5, or wait, was it 4 to 1, and it'll get you back up? I don't know. But either way, so for anybody that's listening, there's this douchebag that goes around and like gives all lesfic authors like a 1-star rating on this site called Goodreads. And it's very frustrating. And my next book, which isn't out until May, it's called The Road Home. It literally got a 1-star rating already because Charles went and fucking rated it a 1-star. This motherfucker hasn't read it.
Nobody's read it. There's
like
no
to
way
beat
that...
him with, or him, her with a rubber hose. Like,
pretty
I'm
sure it's a her.
I think you're right.
I'm pretty
I think
sure it is
her.
Too.
I think it's a her. I literally think Charles walks among us.
Oh, for sure.
I think so too.
Really sad.
Yeah, it's really sad, but I guarantee you it is someone. Because like the minute that happened, I think a couple other people got 1-starred.
Yeah.
Fuck Charles. So
Charles, we're making shirts for GCLS.
Yeah, I was say GCLS should be able to buy shirts that say "Fuck Charles." So we're very excited about the sales for that. It's gonna
merch.
Be amazing. Merch, the merch. Yeah, good times. Jackie, what are you obsessed with?
I am actually obsessed with this week. I have been a little philosophical thinking. I'm obsessed with my friends this week because I was scrolling through my feed the other day and, you know, you pass a lot of stuff that's like, oh, fake people in your life. This person did this to me. This person did that to me. Like, oh, blah, blah, blah. I'll cut you before you get a chance to hurt me and yada, yada, yada. And all these things. And I was like, I don't have anyone in my life that I wouldn't trust, like, without question, like, my really good friends are my really good friends, and I don't worry about them talking behind my back. I don't worry about them doing anything to hurt me. I don't have any of those things. And I was just thinking when I was actually driving home from work today that I'm really fortunate, and I'm not saying that to be a dick to people who have been screwed over, because I have been screwed over. I have just finally whittled down the people in my life to be individuals who will not do that to me. And that includes my wife, that includes my family, that includes my friends, obviously you guys. Like, I feel really fortunate that I am never on the lookout for when is the shoe gonna drop, when am I gonna get hurt, when am I gonna get backstabbed, when is this gonna happen? Because I would be floored if anybody who I associate with at this point, at being, well, I turned 39 in 2 weeks, did that to me, because I don't have it in my life. And I just felt really lucky to be in that position, because I know that's not everyone's circumstances. And so that's just what I was thinking about today, that not many people have that. So I'm really
lucky. Our tribe is amazing, and we have no drama. And I love that about like my life. Mm-hmm. I totally agree.
Yeah. And I like how if one person has an issue, everyone kind of rallies behind them, and there's very little judgment. There's very little, you know, when one of us is pissed, all of us get kind of pissed. And like, it's a real easy, I don't know. I feel really lucky. And, I don't think I've ever until this point had that where I wasn't at least concerned about like one person's intentions or whatever. So I hope it always lasts like that. But for right now, I'm just going to enjoy it while it does. So, and if you don't have that in your life, fucking reevaluate because it sucks.
Absolutely. Because you know what? A lot of it, and I'm not going to say all of it, but a lot of it is who you choose to be in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, and Jackie, you do not suffer fools gladly. And I cannot see you allowing asshats to come in and stir up drama in your life.
Right.
I agree. In the past.
Well, yeah, you know what? We all have in the past. Right. But, right. You know, that's right. You learn from it. You have to, you know, you have to call the herd eventually and realize that, you know, what are these people bringing to my life? Mm-hmm. And if it's nothing but drama and aggravation, you got to flick those fuckers away.
Right.
Yeah. It's much easier for me now at this point in my life that if I was in a friendship, whatever type of relationship, like with someone that wasn't adding anything to it, I think it would be very easy for me now to be like, I don't need you. And just be rid of them, where the younger Jackie wouldn't have been able to do that as easily. But now me, at this point, I don't care. I just don't care. I don't have time for it. I don't have any interest in it. And I'm lucky that if for whatever reason I haven't attracted that in any recent amount of time, that I haven't had to deal with it. Even getting rid of someone, I haven't had to deal with it. So, I'm in a good place. And I have learned to enjoy the good places.
That's a very important, very important lesson. I think, honestly, Jackie, everything you said is awesome. And I mean, I know you said you were talking about us, but I am very happy to be a part of your life because I feel like it's made my life better to be like around women. But I'm just saying, like, you guys, like, literally, like, to be around women that support you and lift you up is really exciting. Like, all of you guys have been very supportive and amazing. And I never feel stupid or dumb around any of you. Like, I've never been like, oh my God, this person hates me. Like, except the one time when I insulted Stacey.
Remember
when I talked about her ovaries?
There's something to be said for being able to pick up the phone and call your friends and know that whether you need bail money or $1,000 because you overdid something or just somebody to talk to, you know for a fact that these people are going to answer and they're going to be right there with whatever you need.
It's exciting. It's because I think we've talked to you about, like, at this age, it's hard to make friends that are lasting friendships. Like, you obviously make acquaintances, you talk to people, you're like, oh, I got all these Facebook friends, yada yada. But like, at the end of the day, like, who are you going to be like, these are the people that I want to share my life with, like the ins and outs of it? And you guys are it for me. So Jackie, that was a very good obsessed with. Cheers.
Yay.
Yep, I agree.
How's everyone's wine? Good.
Good.
Before we all start crying,
I know. I'm a little salty from my tears.
We cracked Jean's cold little heart.
I did. I felt the slightest stirring of emotion down.
It's okay. She flicked it away. Don't
worry. Or it's the garbanzo beans from earlier.
Is that a fart or a tear? I don't know what that is.
They're just happy.
Or farting.
Everyone, have a great weekend. We'll catch up with you next week. And I promise next week we won't talk about politics.
I'm so excited.
That's a good promise to make.
Look, have Liz weekend, is out. Everybody. We can take a week off.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.